gentlemen, it's January 6, 2022, and this is an all-new PZ85 After Dark on the Podzilla 1985 Network. You are hearing us not live, because that's over. That time is over. The magic is done. So we are recorded once again. Thank God, thank Allah, thank Jeff Bezos. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, of course, we have my good friend, who I want to apologize now for yelling at him so much last night, Mr. Jesse Kimball.
It's completely all right, but I will apologize as well with all that fake outrage that we had at each other.
I haven't seen that much fake outrage since the January 6th riots on Fox News. It was pretty bad. Also with us tonight, of course, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Oh, I am back. I did not go anywhere.
Wolfgang, that's a name I did not see coming. Also with us tonight, Shelby Chan.
Hello.
Double H is here.
Mm-hmm.
And making a return to Podzilla after a while.
Why are you carrying me in your
hand? I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know.
Or are you about to hit me with a, please, sir, I want some more.
He wants some hot iced tea.
Oh.
Oh, you want some of this hot tea?
I can squish my own head. And the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Dalton, how are you feeling?
Fantastic. Well, besides not being able to smell anything.
So you
gotta get those allergies taken care of, man.
Yeah, I know. Oh shit, we didn't say wear a mask on a Nerdiest Part of the Ring. Shit, we're usually really good about that.
So
hey, people, get vaccinated.
So you cannot smell what The Rock was cooking on the Nerdiest Part of the Ring. That's a shame. It's good to have Dalton back with us. It's good to be here tonight. Quick story. I told this on the pre-show and everyone knows that I almost died last night. I literally legitimately almost choked to death. So you would think that I have a new appreciation for life, but I don't. So with that said, you all saw it coming. You know what this is. You know what it is.
Everybody knows what they've signed up for.
We got a lot of bullshit to talk about at the beginning, as often, and then, as we always do. And then later in the show, we have an all-new top five. Lindsay, tell us what our top five is tonight. It's the first top five of 2022.
Our first top five of this year is going to be five stories that we would like to see turned into either films or TV series.
Yes. That could be anything, any story, anybody's life story that you want to see turned into a movie that isn't already one, we can do. And with that said, for the next couple of minutes, I want to go ahead and turn the show over to Shelby.
I'm on Amazon looking at these crazy leather-bound sketchbooks, and they are the coolest thing ever.
That's the show now. Keep going.
Yeah, keep.
My favorite is like the Silver Cthulhu one. It's embossed. It's amazing. They're really tiny though. I wish they were bigger. Like, I want a tome, a massive book I could just bean somebody with.
What about a book that is wrapped in human flesh?
Oh, that too. That works. It's leather.
Like the Necronomicon.
Speaking of Amazon, cool. I got this bad boy today. So this is super nice.
What is that?
Is it a waffle maker?
Yeah.
Waffle maker.
Good answer.
They're not going to come out very good, but you can make them in here, yeah. No, Sarah got this for me for my birthday, and it's well in advance, but it's like a little portable mic shield. I'm going to start recording some stuff again, and I told you guys I did that, you know, Fiverr deal, and the proofreading thing is fine, but I haven't had anybody come across it, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's because I've never done it professionally. I could do it, but it's probably not going to be something people just jump on without massive advertisement. This, on the other hand, I have examples of, because I actually was going through my email the other day and found the original files that I sent in for those VR games that I did.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I still got those I can post.
Which, by the way, are still available online if anybody wants to play them.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, I've got one of them, but I haven't played through it yet. I need to get on that.
The cabin or the ruins? I can't remember which one you have.
I have the ruins, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the ruins is the one I have a much bigger part in. That's probably why.
Also, you know, it really makes me sad. And I apologize for the sound of my voice. It's because I almost choked to death last night. Like, my throat is bad. It hurts to talk, but I'm gonna power through this as I often do. Because if you can't listen to me, you know, when you wake up or when you go to bed, what's the point of living? What makes me sad
is, got a question.
Hunter, you and I were both attached to a Fallout project that mm-hmm. unfortunately fell through. I was super jazzed about that.
The mod or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was a huge mod, and they had all new voice acting and all this stuff. And Hunter,
New Vegas, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, that was 4. Fallout 4.
Maybe it was 4. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
But we were going to be in it as 2 different characters, and unfortunately, the project fell through. So I was really sad about that. That would have been very cool.
I remember when you guys were talking about doing that, and I always meant to submit like samples and stuff to it, and I just never did.
I have an audition too somewhere that, well, it's only on a Facebook video, I think, at this point, that I did, you know, when Jesse might remember when Mass Effect Andromeda was in the works. BioWare did a contest for somebody could be like a minor, like a side character in it. It's a guy who ends up being a journalist who talks to Ryder on one of the planets, and or on the ship or something. I don't know. I submitted an entry for it. I was really proud of. I didn't get anything out of it, and then I thought, well, you know, it's probably some professional did. And then I played the game, and I was like, this voice is terrible. That should have been me.
Well, that's because
I'm just gonna mute it while this is going and just read along.
That's because for whatever reason they gave it to fucking Kevin Casey. So
again, you know, he showed up with coffee, and you know, I probably should have brought a gift.
107 kgmo. That's him. That's Kevin. You want Kevin Casey? I'll get it. That's 2 for 1. Hire me instead.
All right. Now do Chrissy Massey. No, don't. No, it's good.
Hasn't John done that enough? Oh, never mind.
At least twice.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. I will defend their honor. Let's move on.
It reminds me of that that Daniel Tosh bit where he said something about, you know, what was it? Broccoli is a lot like, it was anal sex or something. He's like, if you were forced to have it as a kid, you're not going to enjoy it as an adult. And everybody oohs and ahs. And then he goes, and plus they're both green. And everyone's like, oh. And he goes, that doesn't even mean anything. You just wanted to be upset about that. That means nothing.
Speaking of Mass Effect, that is one of the games coming to Game Pass, and it's a shame because I already have that game. And the reason I have that game is because it was months ago when Kaz was down, and we were at a party at Hunter's. And
the first big party.
Yeah. And I wanted to celebrate the moment. Now, I don't drink normally. Everyone knows that. But I decided to partake in this particular evening. Don't look at me like that, Dalton.
I think you mean you didn't drink.
You used to not drink.
Well,
and you don't still do.
When I drink now, it's cheeky and fun.
No.
Did you? You told me. No. Time. You told me yesterday it was whiskey and chicken almost killed you.
The whiskey and the chicken were not together.
Who threw a ludicrous record at you?
Oh, that's fucked up.
Well, I know the name of
my... Is that not one of his albums? Because I'm almost positive it is.
No, it's Chicken and Beer, I feel like.
It is Chicken and Beer.
I was close.
But one of the alternate titles for my future autobiography is definitely going to be Chicken or Whiskey and Chicken, the Shannon Young story. So we go to Hunter's party. We're all having a good time. And Kaz drives me home. I may be tipsy at that point. I'm laying in bed at like 2 a.m. I'm half asleep. I'm tipsy. And I buy Mass Effect on Xbox's store and I don't realize it. I get up the next day and I jump on my Xbox and I see that I have Mass Effect Legendary Edition. And Sober Shannon goes, why the fuck did you do that? You don't even like Mass Effect.
Yeah, I'm honestly really, because I was thinking like this maybe it happened like while Hunter was talking about it, like maybe and Sarah were talking about how much they enjoy Mass Effect. And then you're like, well, if they like it so much, I'm going to get this game. But, like, yeah, you laying alone, like I don't understand why you would have purchased this
game. Because 2 a.m. is when your brain goes, this is a great idea. You
know exactly when they put infomercials on. They knew what they were getting at. That's the Seinfeld bit. You lay there at 2 in the morning. It's the only time in the night that you might go, I'm going to get that knife and cut up my shoes. I should really get that. I should. I have to know if it works.
I can't think of 2 a.m. infomercials without hearing the goddamn steel drums on Comedy Central.
Oh my god!
That's all I hear.
To this day, I can't stand the fucking steel drum.
That's a good one. But I also distinctly remember all those 80s rock ballad albums because in my head, late nights immediately go to, they're the songs you love. Heaven isn't too far away. And they're all in one place now.
And you're, while you are correct.
You got till it's gone.
When I was in college and I had, you know, that the TV going all night long on Comedy Central. This was at the point where, like, MP3s had already been going. Like, people were buying stuff on iTunes. So, like, the compilation CDs were no longer a commercial. For me, it was all Girls Gone Wild all the time.
And I still remember the quote. It was, if you thought Girls Gone Wild were wild before, wait till you see what happens when Snoop Dogg gets behind the camera. It's Girls Gone Wild doggy style.
And even there, they were still playing the steel drums. Yes. Girls Gone Wild in Texas.
Girls Gone Wild at the Capitol riot.
Why? It's like they paid one time for a steel drum overlay. And
now
they're just like, this works.
To be fair, when Girls Went Wild at the Capitol riot, that had to be on late night, like paid programming, because when they went wild, they shot her. So you can't show that on Comedy Central.
I just sent you a better joke on your Facebook, Shannon.
I feel too bad to say it out loud.
Yeah.
After the infomercials is when, like, that the really old Canadian lady would be talking about weird sex things.
Love her. I love her.
Yeah.
She was great.
It's Sue Johansson, I think, is what her name was. And I would just remember I always woke up, like, mid-program of that, and I'm like, what am I listening to?
you fell asleep watching good, wholesome Christian entertainment like VeggieTales. And you woke up to talking about double-ended dildos and penetration, and it was still VeggieTales.
It was a whole new cucumber thing.
Cucumbers involved. I was about to make that.
Girls Gone Wild cucumbers.
My dad would get up from work, and he had to go past my room to take a shower and stuff. And I was like, he knows that this is going on in my room, and he's just like,
He chose not to know what was going on in your room. He didn't want to know. Speaking of January 6th, real quick, happy anniversary, everybody. We'll talk more about it this weekend, but happy anniversary, America. One of the greatest moments in American history happened a year ago today. I said I wasn't going to talk about it much on Facebook because I didn't want to fight with Adam Rister and the rest of the CCW Republicans, but I could talk about it on my show. I still remember, and I'm gonna talk about it more this weekend, but I still remember last year. So I was dating a girl, and she was with family. Something bad happened, and she was attending a funeral of a family friend. It was very, very sad, no doubt. Meanwhile, I was at work at Gaming Grounds, and I watched the January 6th things happen live. I watched it unfold. I was super pissed. Like, I was legitimately angry, and I don't even know why, because I don't even like America a lot. But I was getting really upset that they were invading the, you know, the Capitol building. And when she came home,
it's that big brother, little brother thing. Like,
I could talk shit about my
fun of America.
She came home and she was upset about her family thing, and I wouldn't shut up talking about January 6th. And that was when I knew we were in trouble. That's how upsetting it was to me, though. I forgo all logic and emotional helping, and I was just so angry about this, and I wanted to complain to whoever would listen. So I remember that night we were playing Call of Duty. We were still playing Black Ops. I think we were playing Prop Hunt, and we were just all talking about January 6th and what happened. It's one of those moments that's definitely going to live in infamy. I'm going to talk more about it this Saturday, but just really quick, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to America for one of the most shameful things that that we had. So thank you. Thank you, Republicans.
Yeah, there was a fun video that I saw of, like, somebody that was actually in the Capitol sort of nearby. It's just it's a fun one. It's a fun one.
Is it more fun than the one of the girl trying to climb the barricade to attack people and then they shot her and they're like, why'd you shoot her? Just because she was advancing on you.
It's that FBI bit. They were just shooting at the FBI and they shot back at them.
Why?
that video is very much like it's not like that kind of a video. The one I sent is just people nearby reacting to the riots, like basically people that live in DC.
I think we should start a new segment on, maybe if we ever do the YouTube channel for Podzilla, we start a new segment called Fuck Around and Find Out, and that could be one of the episodes. Is her fuck around and then she gets shot and it goes find out.
It's a modern day retelling of when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yes.
It's a new revival.
Yeah,
nobody plays on my phone.
A lot of people did not understand that like Secret Service don't fuck around.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Like Capitol Crazy, Police, that's different.
I still remember watching a more, you never hear the F word on TV. You know, it's like one of those things, even on channels where you can say the F word, you never hear it because it's almost like a, what is it? Like a unspoken rule, an unspoken agreement, like on news shows and stuff like that. You don't curse. It's not decent, but I still remember watching Morning Joe the next day and Joe Scarborough was talking about it and literally live on air. He was talking about the Capitol Police that let people into the building. And he said, like, you let him in the fucking door. And I remember thinking like, oh, you can't say that, Joe, but it's Joe Scarborough. He says whatever the fuck he wants. Mad respect. Yeah. Dalton, you want to go ahead and read that joke?
No, I'm good. I was pretty proud of it when I came up to it.
Lindsay, you want to take that one?
What joke?
The joke in the chat.
The one about no sausage and being called a communist?
That one. That's why I don't understand why Dalton didn't see it.
I wasn't looking at it.
We've got to bring back Horse Time. On Horse Time, we would talk about things like this all the time. Hunter would just...
And I would just do things like this.
He would bless us constantly. My favorite part of it was Hunter would... You would post these great memes that were very, very funny, and then Tanner would try to match you, and we would all just politely laugh and go, that's good.
Yeah, good
that's
job,
good.
Tanner.
You did it. You did it. You done it.
Participation
Hang
trophy.
On, this one's a two-parter. Don't get too excited about that first.
Oh, that's pretty sweet, actually. That's nice. Oh.
Yeah.
I think, Dalton, I think one of those is Biscuit from Tennessee.
Oh man, I love Biscuit. He's such a sweetheart.
Anyway.
I'm pretty sure it's his Christian name.
Biscuit?
Yeah.
That is a good Christian name.
Anytime I meet somebody from Tennessee wrestling and they have a name like that, I always follow it up with Biscuit. Pretty sure it's his Christian name.
All right, let's just get into it.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Let's get it.
That's why I don't come around anymore.
You always have an open invitation to bomb on this show anytime you want.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it. Let's
just come on in.
If there's no new business, let's just get to the let's get to the meat and potatoes. We've got six people in here. I think 40 minutes. Jesse, this is something I do every time where I think that I have to stall so that there's enough space, and then we end up always being short on time. So,
yeah, especially with six people.
Right. So let's forego any more stalling and get to the topic at hand. Lindsay, one more time, tell us what the topic is.
Our picks of five stories that we would like to see turned into movies or TV series. And since there are a bunch of us and you rambled a bunch, I suggest you take the ones you like first and we'll just cut out early if need be.
Yeah, because that Fallout 76 ain't going to play itself. Actually, it will, but I want to be there for it. So,
well, we're not there, yeah. Yeah.
In keeping, I don't know why that's so funny to me. Kirby. Oh. All right. So one of my there is a Kirby animation. I'll never find it again. It might have been College Humor, but it's Kirby sitting across the table from this guy with a mustache, and they're arguing about something. I don't remember what they're arguing about, but it's this really deep intellectual conversation. And like the dude is just arguing and won't let Kirby talk, and Kirby finally gets upset and swallows the guy and gets his mustache. Then he pauses and goes, "Oh, that's what he meant." That's just it's very funny to me. All right, so. Since Dalton is our special guest tonight, he's not here very often. We'll go ahead and start with Jesse.
Every time.
That needs to be a t-shirt, Lindsay. It just says, let's start with Jesse.
I feel like that shirt could go wrong so quickly. All right, my first one, I'm going to do the Amory Wars.
Ah, damn it. I got to stop putting Jesse first.
That happens more than
you bring it on yourself.
Sure. Yeah, the Amory Wars. That's the comic book that Claudio Sanchez, frontman for Coheed and Cambria, writes, that kind of goes along with a lot of their albums.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's a really, really fun story. It's a really cool story, and I would love to see it made into a show. Mark Wahlberg apparently has purchased the rights to produce this movie.
I mean, it's already got a soundtrack.
But
literally,
yeah, right? Yeah, it has a soundtrack. But yeah, nothing has ever happened with it.
So some people out there might not know this, Jesse. So explain to them what Coheed and Cambria's albums are about. Well, no. Hold on. No, I didn't mean it like that. No. What I mean is like the fact that they're concept albums. That they're not just like random music. They tell a story.
Yeah, every album tells a story. Yeah. Like if you and they're all like, it's basically a soundtrack to the story they want to tell. Like you can kind of get a lot of the information from the lyrics and move forward. Mm-hmm. And then you know you get like some fun stuff in there, like the song 10 Speed. Is about a demonic bicycle that's trying to convince the main character to murder his girlfriend.
And like, his characters. That's when the story got weird, because it suddenly became about the writer, who was the writer of the comic, and his bicycle was trying to convince him to kill off the... It got real strange.
Yeah. Too and meta. Then, like, the entire thing, Good Apollo on Burning Star 4, he's talking to a dog named Apollo. Good Apollo on Burning Star 4. It's fun.
And you say Marky Mark is doing this movie.
that old chestnut. You know?
He'll do it justice. Yeah.
That classic Hollywood trope that Mark Wahlberg is so well known for.
Hey, Coheed and Cambria. No, I can't do Marky Mark. So.
How's your mother? Yeah, neither could Andy Samberg. That was kind of the point.
All right. Let's move on to Jesse's other half. Shelby.
Oh, I just assumed you were going to quantify that as Dalton for some reason.
Yeah.
I think we were all waiting on the bit.
Dalton is nobody's better half. Don't tell him I said that.
I'm going to go with The Phantom Tollbooth. It's one of my favorite novels. It's just all about imagination. Kid drives through a cardboard toll booth and enters his imagination, and it's just amazing. Every crazy concept you can think of, like three square meals a day, it's three cubes on a plate. That's your three square meals.
Oh, I get it. I don't like it.
It's so good though.
I don't like it. Is this a kid's book?
It is. And it's about just like exploring your own thoughts, like every weird thought you have, don't think of it in just one way, and don't settle with one thing. Explore it. Like keep looking around. Don't use the same words to describe something, because they also say that each word has a different flavor. You use one word more than others because you like the taste of it, but why not try out different words, because they may taste differently.
That sounds really cool, and also sounds like the guy that wrote that was high as shit.
It's amazing. I love it.
All right, let's keep this train going. Let's go to the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
So I don't know a lot of stories that I thought I could make into it, so I picked People. This one's fairly recent, but I would love to see this biopic. I want to see a movie made about Antonio Brown. Maybe even starring the guy. I don't know, but I want to see it. This dude's legit insane, and I like trash fires. So give me that.
So there was an update. Did you hear about like why he like it was confirmed why he threw all of his stuff into the stands?
Wasn't it because he couldn't get the he got benched, so he couldn't make his like contract bonus? That's what I've heard.
No, they actually wanted him to go into the game, and he was super close to getting three different massive bonuses that would have totaled $1 million. They wanted it like supposedly, according to his Antonio Brown side of the story, is that Bruce Arians wanted him to go in the game because they were losing and they needed his help. He's like, no, coach, I'm hurt. Can't go in. And he was like, well, if you don't go in, you're fired. So he was like, all right, cool. And then just stripped everything off, threw it in the stands and left.
Now, to be fair, though, his side of the story also said that he didn't rape that woman, but he paid out of court for her, so he probably raped that woman. So who knows if he tells the truth? It's funny talking about Antonio Brown and what insane.
He very well could be lying, because in fairness, he left the field like after he threw all of his stuff in there, after he threw all his stuff in the stands, he did a couple of jumping jacks in the end zone, and then he trotted off to the fucking locker room. So it doesn't really seem like he was actually hurt. But
so let me, so you guys just explained why I want there to be a fucking movie. Like, there's so much you can, I want a third party. I don't want NFL making it. I don't want Antonio Brown's camp making it. I want somebody to come in and I don't care. You but can cast Antonio Brown.
It has to be in the style of like Chappelle's Show, where you've got Charlie Murphy telling the story and then you've got Rick James like telling his side of the story.
I need to point something out. I need to point something out really quick. This thing Hunter posted in the chat, Tony Hawk's existential nightmare. I love this fucking quote. Girl at restaurant, are you Tony Hawk? Me, yes. Her, why? I had no idea how to answer.
As far as
those are
to
all
what he's up to he has these run days. Into too.
Yeah.
Why are you Tony Hawk?
On a 80s top 10 list on the Disney Channel from National Geographic.
Was it him or Bam Margera that Hulk Hogan said, like, yeah.
That was Bam Margera. Okay. Bam Margera. Yeah.
It was still alive, brother. Bam.
He's like, damn, Bam, I miss you, brother. I wish you were still around. And Hulk's like, hey. Or Bam literally comes in. He's like, hey, Hulk, I'm still alive. I miss you too, buddy. And the worst part of that is you know that Hulk definitely was thinking about Ryan Dunn, and now Bam has to relive that all over again.
It's almost like Hulk Hogan's a piece of shit. Let's go to Double H. All
right. Every single one of mine is going to be a horror novel.
Yes.
Because it's like just all came to mind as stuff that would work. Almost all of these I've read within the past year.
Yeah.
But the first one I'm going to do is actually a novel that I've talked about on the show before. We talked about favorite books. The Troop by Nick Cutter would be an incredible miniseries. Not so much a movie, but a miniseries. It's all about this group of scouts who are out on this island for this annual trip that they go on. And that's sort of happening with kind of the regular tropey kids, like the nerdy kid and the fat kid, and it's the kind of like 80s, 90s tropey type stuff. But in the background of that, this guy shows up on a speedboat, and there's not supposed to be anywhere out, you know, where they're camping at this cabin. The guy shows up on a speedboat. He's super gaunt. He keeps talking about how hungry he is, and I know where you think that's going, but it's not. But it does get real gross real fast, and it turns into this sort of survival horror / Stand By Me kind of story. People are dying left and right, and it would be a really great miniseries. My only fear is that, and I would be shocked if somebody doesn't pick this up and try to do that with it. If they make it a miniseries, it needs to stay that and not like, this is season one, now we'll be back with season two. No, it ends there. Like, yeah. The way the book ends is perfect.
But
so I would need it to be like a 10 episodes, and then we cut it off. That's it.
But also, please at least end the series and don't, you know, never finish it.
Yeah, no, it would have to be like a Netflix thing where they just dump the whole thing at once. It would be a really good companion piece in a lot of ways to like Midnight Mass. Like if Mike Flanagan took this story and ran with it, oh, it'd be really great.
Well, the reason I say that, because I was kind of, me and someone, we got invested in the Mist miniseries.
And, oh, yeah.
And then they just canceled it and never finished it. Yep. So what a terrible feeling when you're like 5 or 6 episodes into something that you'll never get a resolution to.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah, that would suck.
But yeah, you have talked about that book a lot, so I would like to see that. I would like to see
That's
that.
Good.
My first pick, and by the way, the reason I got weird there for a second is because I heard some beeping. Turns out I accidentally hit the volume down on my headset, so I couldn't hear anything for a few seconds. Anyway, we're good. My first pick is Arthas, because we'll never get a sequel to Warcraft, and they didn't tell the best story. Jesse and Lindsay, as you know, Arthas is the best story in World of Warcraft. You have
certainly the most interesting.
Yeah, arguably the best. I don't want to say it is the best. It's everybody's, you know, got their own favorites, but it's my favorite. The story of a guy who was so obsessed with saving his people that he became the monster that they all feared. It's a good story. It's a classic story. And Warcraft was a great movie. I really liked it. I thought it was fantastic. So
I would absolutely love to see, because that's basically Warcraft 3.
Right.
Like, if that could get made into a movie, that would be awesome.
Because they did Warcraft 1, basically, with some tweaks. Yeah. So, yeah, this is the story. So, basically, the Warcraft 3. I'm going to take it back. It's not Arthas. It's Warcraft 3, because that's what it is. To go,
just call it Arthas.
Call it, or the Lich King, or whatever. It's a good, good story.
That would actually be a cool, like, I mean, they could even do a trilogy out of it, where it, like, it starts with, like, Arthas saving everybody, and or trying to save everybody. Like, Arthas the good guy, Arthas the conqueror, and then, like, Arthas being defeated as the Lich King. Like, now, that would actually be kind
of
cool.
Now you're dipping into World of Warcraft territory, and that's something else entirely. Let's go over to Lindsay.
Well, I'm going to start off with one that technically its rights have been picked up, but no new news has come on it. Lore Olympus, I want to see an actual series. And Netflix has the rights, but whether or not they do anything with it.
Because that's one of the webtoons, right?
Yes, it is a retelling of the story of Hades and Persephone. But they give it a little bit more of a modern twist to it, that basically the world of the gods is like our current modern world, and then the mortal realm is like back in ancient Greece and stuff that way. Yeah. And it's just, I like the art style of it a lot, and I've just been hooked on the story as soon as I started reading it.
Is this an anime or is this American?
It's an American webtoon.
Okay.
So I thought all the webtoons were Korean.
I don't know.
Not all of them.
Is this? She sounded so sure of herself. No, it's American. And then Jesse immediately calls her out with a question. I heard they were all Korean, and she just goes, "I don't know." She just immediately gives up.
When the person's name is Rachel, it doesn't really scream like
that's Korean. That sounds Korean to me.
Yeah.
Can confirm. I listen to a lot of their music.
Yeah, Dalton would know.
A lot of Rachels.
Dalton would know. Your favorite K-pop group is Rachel.
I mean, yeah. I do have a Korean comic on my list. They all sport
the Rachel haircut, yeah.
Webtoon was, like, it was created, like, it's a South Korean corporation, and it was created in South Korea, but I think anybody can, like, publish to it.
Yep.
Good shit down there. Over there. Wherever.
Because I know they've got, like,
geography.
Down there. Down in, you know, down there in Korea. Down south.
Because there's a few webtoons that have been made into anime, and they've been incredible. Like, Tower of God was it one that was really good. The God of High School was a really good one. Like, yeah, there's some good stuff in there.
The God of High School. Okay. Well, let's go.
It's an entire tournament-based fighting anime. It's really good. It's very entertaining.
Let's go back to Jesse Kimball.
Oh, it's my turn again already?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, my next one, I'm going to say Diablo.
Yeah,
I would love to see that story told in a movie.
How is that not at least an anime at this point?
Right? Like, they Netflix is supposedly working on something for a Diablo series, but, I mean, we haven't seen it. Like, last I heard, they were getting the same people that did the Castlevania series.
Yeah, I could see that.
This Diablo show, but, yeah, I haven't heard anything about it in forever.
Well, you got a phone, don't you, Jesse?
I do, but it would be easier to do it this
Wasn't
way.
It called the thing?
No, Jesse, no, I'm just making
he
a Diablo joke.
He doesn't have a phone number to call and just get the information.
I got the Diablo.
You've got phones, don't
God
you?
God damn it. That
I would love to have.
That
I'll
just,
be honest with you. I want to play Diablo Immortal.
I would too.
On my phone.
Like, I would too. That
like the line was terrible, but I still kind
of
wanted to.
Hearing you talk about Netflix just reminds me of the time Austin Lane, I hope he's listening. Austin Lane got a hold of me because he wanted to do a Netflix documentary, and he was like, "How do I do this?" And I'm like, "I don't know, Austin. I don't have a connection at Netflix. Where the fuck do you think I've come from?"
Stars, we would just screwed be doing up your impression of them, today. Didn't he? Trying to make the match. I can't do that, man.
Every show, Shannon, make this happen. And I'm sitting there like selling drinks and hot dogs. I'm like, Sarge, I don't know what you want from me. But then Sarge deep throats the hot dog and everyone laughs.
Insane, Sarge. Right. So I'm looking at this real quick. I've got one link that says an animated Diablo Netflix series has been confirmed to be in development. And then there's the first link says, what happened to the Overwatch and Diablo Netflix series? Before we get going, we should state that neither a Diablo or Overwatch series has officially been announced by Netflix or Activision.
That's a very conflicting
thing.
Yeah, I know.
Also, I just want
just
to point
so you
out,
know, this probably ain't even happening.
I truly hate the picture you just put in the chat. I truly hate it. I don't like it. Because that's me every time I'm laying in bed and I try to send a selfie to somebody. So.
I feel that in my soul.
When the loading screen on the game goes black for a minute and you go, no. Hurry up, please.
When I open up Snapchat to check something, it always starts on the photo of me and I look away as I hit the button. Like, no thanks.
If I can't see him, he's not real. My therapist told me he was not real.
All right, let's go. Shelby, you're next.
Next one is, it's a two-parter, so my second part will be on the next one. But it is called Irredeemable. It's about a superhero called the Plutonian, and he is basically like the Superman of this world, and he goes bad, and he just starts slaughtering everybody.
Does he fight the Moonanites?
No, he fights everyone he was saving previously, and it's just like, laser you in half. This entire room, this whole building, this whole town, fuck you all.
Spoiler alert, is he ever redeemed, or is he irredeemable?
Well, part two, you'll hear.
We'll have to get to part two, okay. Okay, we'll come back to you for part two then. Let's.
Also, Dalton, that story is written by Mark Waid.
Yes, both of them are. The next part.
Oh shit,
Mark Waid. Yeah.
So I actually keep meaning to read it, and I've forgotten
it's
all
really
about it.
It's really good.
I'm disappointed at Jesse. Honestly, like you got to marry the girl, but you won't read her comics.
I told him about this over a year ago.
It's been a minute.
Oh, that's bad.
Now see. You guys couldn't see the look that she gave him, and we couldn't either because my screens are all messed up, and she looked at Lindsay really shittily that time. But that was a look.
Sorry, Lindsay.
Okay.
If you felt that, that's what it was.
Dalton, you're next. Dalton did not have number two prepared, so he's quickly turned the hamster around.
I got it. They have never made a solo Iceman movie. And that's a bummer, because that's a really fun character. I just want to see him freeze his shit for 90 minutes. Give it to anybody. I don't care. Just somebody that kind of looks like he could be Iceman. Just give me an X-Men Iceman movie, goddammit. That's all I want. He's really cold and freezes things. Like
Which Iceman, though? The one that loved Rogue in the original movies? The one from the games where he was just a straight-up womanizing pimp? Or the one
the gay
where...
one. I want the gay
or
one.
Or the gay one.
I
okay.
want the gay one. Yeah, I want the gay one. That's the one I want. Give me time traveling.
You can still get Sean. What's his name? Sean Astin. Is that the guy? That wasn't him.
No, Sean Astin was one of the hobbits.
Ashmore. Sean Ashmore. That's what it is. I was trying to get it right. Yeah, the guy who played him. He could be the gay Iceman.
I'd say
he could be old. He could be old Iceman, and then you bring in young Iceman and let them hang out together. Because that was some of the most fun I've ever had in comic books.
I'd say,
and then Jean Grey just pulls him right out the closet.
Oh, Jean Grey is such a bitch. But give me a solo Iceman book. What I want.
I'd say get Mark.
Jean Grey is a bitch.
Get Mark Wahlberg to play Iceman.
Hey, Rogue, how you doing?
Hey,
how's your mother?
Hey, X-Men. All right. Back to Hunter.
All right. Two of these books are by the same guy, so I'm going to try to split that up. Oh, no, fuck it. We'll do them back to back. The next one is going to be My Best Friend's Exorcist by Grady Hendrix. So Grady Hendrix is doing an awful lot of really good, like, pop horror stuff over the past couple of years. He did a book that, the one that really put him on the map was called Horror Store, STOR with the little umlaut. It's all about an evil IKEA, which is pretty great. I don't know that would make a great, like, movie or series, but what would make a really great, and I can't decide if it should be a movie or a series, but is the second one, My Best Friend's Exorcist. So this thing is Heathers crossed with Idle Hands in a lot of ways. It's this group of popular girls. Two of them are a little closer than the others. One of them gets possessed by a demon, and the other one spends the entire run of it trying to, first, convince people that's what happened, and, B, figure out how to get it out of her. It involves an exorcist who's a bodybuilder. I sent an excerpt of this to you guys. The one who eats the corn dogs and says rad a lot. That's a thing, because it all takes place in the 80s and the early 90s. And that's something else it would really have to be. It's got to be a period piece. This does not work if it's taken out of its original time frame. So late 80s, early 90s, really kind of, even the book. Right, Oh man, and even the book cover looks like an old. I'll send it to you guys. It looks like an old VHS.
I just looked it up, and I love the chapters too. The chapters are all labeled like they're IKEA furniture.
Uh huh. So that one for Horror Store for that, but then for My Best Friend's Exorcist, they also have all the different chapter names are like horror movies, if I remember correctly. They're takes on them. It's like takes on Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff. So. It's really good. It's a really good story that I think you could do either one. I'm afraid a movie would cut out too many of the like weird parts, so maybe a series would be a better choice. But I don't think it would need 10 episodes. 6, 7, 8, you could probably do the whole thing. That's my next pick.
I appreciate all the horror. I really do.
Oh man, I got stacks on stacks.
My next one. I'm surprised no one's done this one yet, considering how famous he is. But let's do a movie about Jesus. Like,
are you super Jesus Christ about this?
Superstar.
No, actually, my next one is also a book. It's also a horror story that I think Hunter has probably read. You know, there's nothing bigger right now than Disney. And one of Disney's biggest franchises is this Star Wars saga.
I know where this book is going with. Yeah.
I would love to see a movie based on the Death Troopers novel. I think, was it called? It was called Death Troopers, right? Am I thinking of this correctly? Okay.
Not that you have your copy before anymore.
Before Death Troopers just became Stormtroopers in black.
Black, right.
Or like extra talented or something.
This is a story about guys on a like prison ship with the Empire on it, and something happens to where it's a zombie story. Let's just flat out put it out. It's a zombie story with stormtroopers. And it's awesome. Like, I had never read a Star Wars horror story before. So it was very, very new and different to me. It was gory and gritty. Not like anything else you see with Star Wars. So whenever they were talking about Disney was going to do a Star Wars Halloween special, my immediate thought was, oh, they could do Death Troopers. Like, I know it's a little bloody and gory. They could tone it down, obviously. And instead, we got that weird Lego Star Wars Halloween, which was fun. I liked it.
Master Shake voicing
Dana Snyder as the Hutt. But like, give me a, it doesn't have to be a series. Give me just a Death Troopers movie starring Mark Wahlberg and I will be happy.
Hey, Han Solo, how you doing?
Hey, Jedis. All right. Oh no, ask Kylo, how's your mother? Dead. Let's go to Lindsay.
So my next one is Chronicles of the Grim Peddler. It's basically all of your classic fairy tales, but they're bookended together by this like kind of weird jack of all trades peddler who is the one that actually ends up like making the deals with all the main characters in the stories to get them their desires and ends up like turning each of the stories kind of like upside down. And in the long run, he's taking something from each of these stories to compile into something bigger at the end.
Okay.
And it could go more route to an extent.
I thought you were going to say more, so I didn't want to like talk over you because I do that so
I
much.
Did as well.
No.
Yeah. All right. What is it called again?
Chronicles of the Grim Peddler.
And this is a webtoon?
It is originally a Korean comic. I've got the first volume of it in a physical copy.
Like legit?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see that.
I read the rest of it online. I was trying to find the stupid thing before we started recording. I don't know where I put it. It's probably hiding behind Catbug over there.
Is it in Korean?
No, it's in English.
Because I remember once I played an RPG that was in Japanese, and I played through the entire RPG, and I didn't know what the story was, but I liked the game.
That was called Sailor Moon.
It was called Sailor Moon. Before I knew anything about Sailor Moon, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but they got short skirts. Anyway.
Find the cover. I'll show you guys at least the cover.
Back to Jesse.
Okay. My next one, I'm going to go with Overwatch, since it also is not apparently confirmed.
All right, only one Blizzard movie per list, please.
Hi.
No. Because like we've gotten the Overwatch shorts, and all the Overwatch shorts are really good, and that's really all we have for story, that and some comic books. I would love to see it put out into like a TV series, because there's a lot of really interesting lore, and the characters in Overwatch are awesome.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't played the game in like 2 years, I love the character aesthetics.
So I have a quick question for you, legitimate question. Yeah. Do you think that in the current climate, with all of the Blizzard accusations and how bad of a PR they've had recently, do you think there's a chance that they will make films based on these properties at this point? Like, do you think there's going to be a recovery period where everybody kind of forgives Blizzard and then they start pushing it all out again? Or do you think that they are in enough trouble that they might not do it?
They're going to have to do one giant act to get everyone to forgive them, and then they can start producing stuff like that. But they can't just be like, hey, look at this thing, and don't think about what just happened over there.
Honestly, I feel like not near enough people are as upset with them as we would like to believe.
Yeah.
And, like, while they are in, like, a, you know, a PR shitstorm or whatever, you know, they've done a whole lot of, like, firing and hiring, and they've fixed a lot of the internal stuff. And, I mean, except for Kotick needs to just, like, be thrown into the sun. But, other than that, like, I mean, they're working towards it, and nobody's talking about it anymore.
Well, so I think that's because the news, Hunter, we've talked about the news cycle over and over again, how there's
a 24-hour news cycle.
There's always something new to get outraged about.
So, yeah, I do not think that any of this PR stuff is going to stop, because they, like, supposedly they're working on this stuff. Like, they would just give it to other studios and let them go at it. It's not like Blizzard is hiring people and doing all this stuff in-house.
Right.
They're using the fact that they own the rights to have another studio work on this project and then publish it on Netflix, who they also have a deal through.
Cool. Awesome.
Supposedly.
Let's go to Shelby.
Incorruptible is my follow-up. It is about a supervillain who, after seeing that the Plutonian goes bad, decides, you know, the world kind of needs a hero. So he decides to become a hero. And through his series of events, he decides not to release the plague that he was going to release to kill everyone because, you know, Plutonians already just slaughtered millions. What's the point? He already did his work for him. So why not steal the Plutonian's job? So Max Damage is this guy's name, and his sidekick's name is Jailbait.
No! No.
Story, in like 2 weeks of the first issue, she becomes legal, so she like has to change her name.
You're good, just keep going.
But yeah, they throughout the series, team up with various people to take down the Plutonian. And it's really good.
I feel like that's going to be an Amazon animated special. You saw what they did with, what was that show called?
Invincible,
yeah.
Oh my god, you were going to say The Boys. I was like, dude, no.
Also The Boys.
It was really good, and I think they would do pretty well with that, but they have to do both of them.
Dalton.
Superior Spider-Man. We're eventually going to get an old-ass Spider-Man. Or not old-ass. He wasn't old whenever that happened. But like a Spider-Man that's not in high school. Might as well tell the story about whenever Doc Ock switches consciousness. Conscious is with them.
No, you had it right the first time.
Did I? All right, cool. I see big words are hard. But anyway, like, but the unfortunate thing is everything I'm about to talk about this comic book story is pretty much what Shelby just summed up. So that, what she just said, but with Spider-Man. Doc Ock's just like, watch me be better at this than you.
I mean, it was because Doc Ock got a whole dose of, like, he had all of Peter's memories when they swapped. So he got a big old dose of, with great power, there must also come great responsibility. And he's like, that's fine. I'll be a hero, and I'll be better than Peter.
I got this.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, Tom Holland, just keep making movies. That's one that you can make in 15 years. I only want Tom Holland to ever play Spider-Man. He's not allowed to play anything else. So the Mark Wahlberg.
He's already Nathan Drake.
With Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg's going to be like, hey, Spider-Man, how you doing? How's your mother?
Hey, Nathan Drake.
Mark Wahlberg can be Doc Ock. There you go.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say Nathan, or not Nathan Drake. Wahlberg could be Doc Ock, and then we just get that, like, inner dialogue whilst looking at Tom Holland.
Man, a lot of
comedy of the year.
A lot of Mark Wahlberg on tonight's show. This is strange.
I wonder whose fault that is.
This reminds me of when we had that, Hunter, do you remember that series of episodes we had where we were obsessed with Jonathan Frakes? And
you ever gone a wandering under the clear blue sky?
How much would it cost to spend a night in a haunted hotel?
The alien business is big business nowadays.
Avril Lavigne singing Bite Me on the Dick Clark rocking New Year's Eve 2022 show.
You gotta watch those line breaks.
All right, Hunter.
I decided to switch one up so that I wouldn't have all horror, but also so I wouldn't have two from the same guy. I was going to put Grady Hendrix's The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires on here, too. But it's really just, it's not a continuation of My Best Friend's Exorcism. It just takes place in the same place. And it's good, but I don't know that it necessarily needs a series. What I do think would be really cool visually is a little book called Night Circus. The Night Circus, I guess, by Aaron Morgenstern. This is... honestly, not my type of book, but it was written really well. It's very fanciful, very magical. There's this these two magicians, basically, who are battling back and forth over ages. It all kind of takes place in sort of a Victorian, London-like setting. It's this traveling circus, but like it's really sensory written. It's really well written in terms of imagery and sensory, so there's a lot of descriptions of like sights and sounds and smells and like cinnamon popcorn as you're wandering through all these little traveling tents and stuff. And every once in a while some of the chapters are briefly written in second person, like it talks to you specifically, the reader, as though you're there, which is a really risky move, but it's done really well in this case. I think this would be a really cool, this would be like an Amazon series too, and I think sections of it would be animated, sections of it would be live action. But it needs to go to somebody who's a really good sensory, like, director. Somebody who's really good at vibrant imagery. I think this would be awesome also done in stop motion. Give it to, like, the people who did Kubo and the Two Strings. It'd be incredible. Really, really well done.
That was almost on my list, but I couldn't remember what it was called. And every time I tried to Google it, it gave me something called, like, the Evil Carnival of some bullshit.
Something Wicked,
like,
This Way Comes or something.
Yeah, I was like, that's not it, though. I know what That's not it. And as you're describing, I was like, that's it right there.
I picked that book up on a whim. We were at Barnes & Noble one time, and it was one of those things where they're like, everything on this table is buy two, get one. And I was like, all right, well, I got to do that. So, and again, it's not my favorite book. It's not even the kind of book I would normally read. But by the end of it, I'll be damned if this was like 2 or 3 years ago that I don't remember large like sections of that book just because of how well it's written in terms of sights and sounds and smells and stuff. I can picture everything they're talking about. So, yeah.
It's one of those ones that make you feel like you were actually there, because you're like, but I remember the smell and I remember.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
My next one is a video game. Actually, I have two video games on my list. I'm shocked this one hasn't already been made into a movie or a TV show. And I think they said they are developing one, but I'll believe it when I see it. Fallout. I know we've been playing a lot of Fallout lately.
Amazon. Amazon's doing it. Yeah. They're working on it.
Wait,
I just saw something earlier today about it.
Lindsay, does that count?
Sure. I mean, it's not out yet.
Okay.
Then yeah, I don't even know that they've like started filming anything. I'm gonna check and see where I saw that.
I'll allow it.
Because there's so many different, you know, it's a basic story of, you know, the apocalypse, but it's done in such a unique style with the style of music that's in it, the vaults in general, the Brotherhood of the Steel, the Enclave. Like, there's so many different moving parts to it, and it's a really interesting story, and it's a really interesting take on what the end of the world would look like. I mean, they use bottle caps for money, and Vault Boy is one of the most classic characters. It could be do it like Zombieland, where you have a character explaining like the rules of the wasteland, and then do little animated inserts with Vault Boy showing you like the instructions. I think that'd be great. I think anything with Fallout would be awesome. And it's not just because we've been playing Fallout 76 every day, all day, but that certainly doesn't help.
You found the article. I'll drop it in here in just a second so you can check it out.
You could give me an anthology series of just the vaults. Because that's half of the, like...
What's going on inside the vaults. Lore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can... Because, like, half of them are horror, like, movie-type situations anyway. You could give me those. And I would be hooked on it, even if it was, like, gory and scary and shit that I don't like. If it was Fallout and it was about the vaults, I'd be in. Even have to tell me the Wastelander story.
A lot of people don't realize that the vaults, you know, they think the vaults were these shelters for people. But like you said, if not all of them, were science experiments on human beings.
But one of them wasn't, and it's the one you're in 3. Everything else was a goddamn nightmare.
Oh, yes.
I kind of liked that for a long time. I haven't read Penny Arcade in a long time, but I was a pretty big fan of that
back in the day, and they apparently developed such a good working relationship with those guys. By the time that it was either 3 or New Vegas came out, they got to write like a Fallout 76 comic in their style. They got to establish a vault, and I forget what number it was, but they wrote it as one guy and a crate full of hand puppets. And they were just going to see what happened. And so by the end, he was like, you know, I'm talking, like, we got to get out of here. It was hilarious at the time. I have no idea how well it holds up, so don't judge me by it, but I'm sure it's still out there somewhere. It was funny then.
It's not just funny, it's dark, too. There have been so many times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's the end of the world, but there are so many times we'll be playing 76, and we'll come across, like, a random house. Like, the house will... There was a house I found where there was a baby carriage, and there was like, a framed picture in it and a bunch of dead flowers, and then you go into, like, the kitchen, and there's a guy sitting there slumped over with a shotgun. You can put two and two together and figure out what happened to this dude. It's... You can have everything in Fallout. No, it's not going to be Elder Scrolls. Elder Scrolls is fine, but it's boring. It's so boring compared to Fallout. That's all I'll say. All right.
Lindsay. Well, yeah, this is Skyrim with guns, so
that's what the game is.
In a better story.
Along the same lines, I think a BioShock one would also be really neat.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those games, though. Like, I love BioShock, and I would absolutely watch if they released a movie or a TV series. I would watch the shit out of it.
It'd be really hard to do it, though.
But I think that's one of those, like, stories that's best told in a video game. Especially since it has decisions. That's why I didn't have Mass Effect on here. Because as much as I would like more Mass Effect content, like, that just seems like a story.
That's happening too, supposedly.
Well, Jesse,
I... It's happening in the same world as Fallout. Just, like, that's what's going on under the sea. And then Fallout's on the land. And just swap back and forth between them.
Also, Jesse, I thought the end of the Mass Effect 3 game proved that your decisions don't matter. So you could still make the TV show or movie.
They matter to an extent. There's just one, like, thing that everybody was upset that didn't matter.
Gotcha.
But, like, there were, like, at least 3, like, massively different endings.
All right, let's go to, I don't remember who was last. Me?
Always
Lindsay.
Last.
Lindsay.
So we're going to actually go back into a fairy tale land for my stuff. And I'm going to go with the 12 Dancing Princesses. Which I actually did a mock-up in college of a more modern version that I still think would be cool, where rather than it being princesses wandering off in the middle of the night and coming back and their shoes are destroyed, that it's an actual, like, dance troupe that when they come in and are trying to practice for the day, they just have no energy whatsoever, and the manager of their troupe is trying to figure out what the heck is going on and ends up hiring, like, a detective to figure it out and make it, like, a whole... start off as a mystery and go into a full-on monster movie when you find out what's actually happening to the girls.
And who's going to play the detective?
I don't know. Mark Wahlberg.
How you doing? How's your mother?
Hey,
hello to your mother for me.
Hey, dance troupe. All right. All right, so we back to Jesse then?
Back to Jesse? All right. I'm officially done with video games ones. My next two are actually books. We're going to start off with Mistborn. This is a book from Brandon Sanderson. The dude is my favorite author. He just has a knack for making these absolutely incredible magic systems. And Mistborn in particular is really interesting. Basically, these different metal powders, if consumed, give different people powers. And, yeah, there's some really cool stuff they do with that story. The whole story is great. And then there's actually, that first part is in a trilogy. And then there's two more trilogies after that that are based on two different characters in the world of a few hundred years after the first trilogy. And it's entirely in the style of a Western. And it's awesome.
Okay. Right.
Like, it's all really, really cool. Like, it's... The magic system is really complicated if you're not just reading it in the book and it's being explained, so I'm not going to try to explain it to you. But I highly recommend checking out Mistborn. You can actually read the first book of the first trilogy, and that's a full and complete story, and you do not have to read anything else. And, if there's more if you want to. But read that first book and see if you like it. I think it's really good. It's one of my favorite series of all time.
Cool. Love it. Let's go to Shelby.
Mine is going to be a series that I want to see where each book in the series is a different season. It's the Pendergast series by Preston and Child. There are currently 21 books in the Pendergast series, but each book is so flippin' amazing. Pendergast is an FBI agent who solves these ridiculously over-the-top crimes that nobody else can solve. Like, in one of them called The Cabinet of Curiosities, there's this place that has, like, I don't know if anyone knows what the old Cabinet of Curiosities were, but these were back in Victorian times where people would have these cabinets, and they had a bunch of weird shit in it, like shrunken heads, and...
have one in our house. You've seen it.
Yeah, exactly.
I know exactly what you mean.
But in the Cabinet of Curiosities, behind this cabinet, or in one of these curio cabinets, they end up finding the remains of, like, 150 murder victims. So they go through, and they're trying to solve this case, and they bring Pendergast in, and he's like, oh, it's all connected to this crazy series of events. There's another one called The Dance of Death, and it brings in his brother into the series, and he's basically the greatest antagonist there ever is to the series. He's the greatest mastermind for evil, while Pendergast is the greatest mastermind for good. So it's like two great forces just head to head. And I love this series so much. It's amazing.
I might look that up myself, yeah. Sorry, Dalton distracted me with something.
Dalton distracted you by laughing at the thing that you posted.
I didn't even post
anything.
I don't believe. No, that's false. That is entirely false, sir. I was trying to be respectful of Shelby, but then Bigfoot Pirates just popped up.
Well, you see, they haunt his balls.
I was good.
I think my favorite part of that we've never pointed out is that's just a fucking gorilla.
It's not even a gorilla. It's a man with a gorilla head. And an eye patch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I think I found the sequel to it, and I don't understand it. I'm just going to put that in here real quick, because it's still just a gorilla.
The handsome pretendo swap.
No. Seduced by Dr. Bigfoot, attorney at law. Dr. Bigfoot, attorney at law.
Shannon, that is not attorney at law.
Oh, shit, my bad.
On an unrelated note, I gotta go change some things in the group chat real quick. I'll be right back.
I just wanted to give you guys a preview of what my next book suggestion is gonna be for the movies.
I definitely want to see a movie about Bigfoot Pirates.
Haunting, put some respect on his name.
Haunting his balls. All right, Dalton, it's your turn.
It's me. Yeah. I watched a lot of DC movies this Christmas break, and after seeing Birds of Prey in the new Suicide Squad, I think that if you let James Gunn establish a Batman verse, he could make the perfect Court of Owls like movie. So I only want Court of Owls made if James Gunn does it, and I need like three more movies before they go ahead and try to do it. Because I need an established lore before they try to knock this one out. But yeah, I want a Court of Owls movie made by James Gunn, so that way we can have the whole Bat family cracking wise. All right, what do we got in here? Jesus Christ.
I don't like the one I just posted. I regret it, but it's very, very funny to me.
Dalton, is that you?
Which one?
The cat.
Oh, God, no.
Exactly.
That's Dalton back when he had more hair.
And more abs. or any abs. Alright, let's go to Hunter. Oh God.
My next choice is gonna be, it's not strictly horror, but it does have some supernatural elements. It's called The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James. This is two stories being told simultaneously. In one story, this girl in the 80s runs away from her family. She goes to, she leaves her family at 18. She's just kind of very bohemian on her own, doing whatever she wants. She goes to this place, it's basically in the middle of nowhere. She gets a job at this motel working as the overnight desk clerk. And slowly but surely, she starts to experience some supernatural activity. She goes missing. Just up and disappears one day, and no one knows what happens to her. 30 years in the future from that, her niece is the only person in her family who seems concerned about her disappearance. Everyone else has made their peace with it a long time ago. So she goes to the exact same place, gets a job at the exact same motel, and works that overnight shift trying to figure out what happened to her aunt. And so the stories are told concurrently. It's got some supernatural elements. It's kind of a mystery type thing. It's not a difficult read, and I think it would be a really good kind of like young adult series. I think it would fit that well. I do think it needs to be a series. I don't think it works as well as a movie. And I think, as a matter of fact, if done right, just like the chapters in the books, you could flip-flop between the aunt and the niece. Like, every other episode could be about one or the other until those stories eventually converge. So I think it'd be really good. It's called The Sundown Motel. It's a good read. I finished that right toward the end of the summer last year.
My fourth pick is a Chuck Tingle story. No, it's not.
God bless America.
Yeah, there's plenty of them. Seriously, Shelby, just look up Chuck Tingle. Just type in Chuck Tingle and...
You're already on Amazon.
He has been nominated for so many awards.
Nominated. So I was... originally, I wanted to say Final Fantasy IX, but then I thought, well, what if it was an anthology series of every Final Fantasy game, and it each had, like, its own 1 hour? But, like, they're too massive to put into... It would have to be a TV show based on one particular entity, and I know...
Or a movie series. I mean, you could MCU this thing and give every one of them its own movie.
That's or you can... that's a preview for my last one, actually.
Or you could American Horror Story it, where... one game gets one season, and then just use the same characters.
What do you mean?
Or same actors.
Same actors.
For the characters.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. I'll take Dalton's advice on that. I think a anthology series for Final Fantasy where every season is a new story is a great idea. 9 was the one I wanted the most because 9 is my favorite story of any Final Fantasy. But I would love to see one for 8 and 6 especially. 10, 10-2. All of them except 7. So... because 7's already got too much, man. They have a movie. 7 already has a movie.
7 has two movies.
And it has a remake of the video game. It's like 7's got too much. Let's give the other better Final Fantasies something to do, you know?
Yeah, if they existed.
Literally all of them, except for the one where the main character's name is Butts. Probably not that one. That sounds like a Chuck Tingle Final Fantasy. Starring Butts and the gay Chocobo. All right.
Chuck Tingle sounds like a Final Fantasy character.
Them.
A little bit, yeah.
There's, I think, I didn't put it in the chat, but he has a horror anthology called Chuck Tingle Presents Scary Stories to Tingle Your Butt. So, you tell me. Let's go to Lindsay.
Hang on, I'll be right back.
Oh, and before Lindsay does jump into it, I know we're talking a lot about Star Wars lately, so just know that Chuck Tingle is also not opposed to sci-fi epics.
Oh, no.
Nope, I'm here for it. What do we got?
Wow. All right, wow.
That's pretty solid.
Okay, so anyways, my next one is
I love
another,
the horse with the lightsaber.
Are you done with your horses?
He's horsing. Never. Horsing around.
Nay. All
right.
It's horse
Nay.
Time.
It's not.
It's Saturday.
It's not. Anyway, go ahead, Lindsay.
Okay. My next one's another webtoon. It's called The Witch and the Bull. And in this universe, witches are kind of their own race. And the backstory of it is there was a massive war and a very skilled witch known as the Zodiac Witch was like... basically making so the witches were winning this war because her curse, if you were hit by it, you basically turned into your zodiac sign. So most people were becoming inanimate objects and animals and couldn't really fight back. And their big decisive one was the king got turned into one and they ate him. So
for the record,
she felt
I would be a lion, so I'm good.
Same. Yeah. She felt extremely terrible about this when she found out that the leader of the other place was literally consumed by their queen and ends up running away and hiding in a non-witch area. And so she's kind of ostracized with the other witches that are there and is given a hard time by the officials. And one of them happens to be the son of the governor or king or whatever it was that was eaten. So he definitely gives them a hard time. And somehow he ends up getting turned into a bull since he's a Taurus. And she feels awful still. And despite the fact that he's a dick, she is trying to help save him and revert the spell. And it, the main story is like their journeys trying to figure out how she can fix the damage that she's caused.
What is with you and the animal stories lately?
I heard her. I saw her saying, "I don't know," but it did not come through at all.
It was too high pitched. I'm sorry. I don't know, but I need her to finish this story because it's been on hiatus for like 3 months.
Well, as in they haven't finished it, or you haven't?
Yeah, no,
finished it?
It's not done yet. I am completely caught up, but like its season is done. I'm waiting for the next one.
Get on the ball. Okay, last round right? here. But before we do, I am going to post one more Chuck Tingle in here, and I'm going to tag Cody specifically.
Oh no!
So make sure he sees that one. That one, by the way, is open wide. For the handsome saber-toothed Dennis, who is also a ghost.
The greatest.
Why
love
is
the
he
open wide.
A lollipop when he's at the dentist?
I like that the other guy, yeah, he has a lollipop, but he looks concerned. Like, he's not happy about it. He still got some bad news a minute ago, and the lollipop is not helping.
No, it's a sugar-free lollipop.
That's not helping anybody.
My favorite thought of this is that Cody's going to see this and think, like, he's going to laugh about it and go, what the hell? But in his mind, he's going to go, why did he tag me in it? Which part of it? All right, Jesse, last one.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
My last one, I've been on a little bit of this urban fantasy kick lately, which is stuff like, it basically takes place in our world and everything, but, you know, fantasy's real, one way or the other. And the only one that hasn't been made into a movie or TV series that I've been reading recently is the Kate Daniels series. It's written by a husband and wife couple. And, yeah, it takes place in sort of a future Atlanta, but sometime in the late 90s, early 2000s, magic kind of came back into the world and basically wiped out most technology. And now technology and magic come in waves. Like, magic exists for a day or two, and then it'll crash. Technology will work. So, like, in that period of time, like, lights don't work. Computers don't work. Cars don't work. And then, you know, whenever you've got the tech going, like, magic spells don't work. And, like, wards and all this stuff don't work. But now you can drive cars around. It's a pretty interesting premise. And, Shannon, you in particular, there are a lot of werewolves in this one. The entire book almost is focused around the shapeshifters, like, is the prominent group of in the story. But there's also like every kind of spellcaster you could think of, including druids, volves, witches, sorcerers, magicians, like all kinds of cool stuff. A lot of mythology starts popping up and like as old powers and being real. It's a really, really interesting book series. I like it a whole lot.
Right. I can dig that. Shelby, last one.
Okay, so my last one is a really old nursery rhyme counting book from when I was little. It was originally published in like 1974, 75 or something like that. They've redone it a million times, but the original images in it kind of gave me nightmares, even though it was a cute story. I can clearly remember the opening of the book is Knock Knock Who Comes to Call, an invitation to the butterfly ball. One little mouse in great distress looks all over for a floor-length dress. If she can't find one smaller than small, then she can't go to the butterfly ball. And it keeps going one, two, three, and they keep going through all these animals that are like frantically looking for something to be able to go to the butterfly ball. And like in my head, the butterfly is just the craziest, scariest thing I can think of. Like she's forcing these people to like, you must dress up or something terrible is going to happen. And the images in the book don't help. Like, it's that old school fairy folk kind of artistry where it's a little creepy.
I want to see this book.
This sounds familiar. Yeah, like, I feel like I've heard of this before.
Let me, it's a good one. My older sister was actually the one that had the original. Let me copy this. This is the cover of it.
This feels like some Candle Cove stuff. We all kind of remember it.
but yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of this, really, but I want to see it.
It's a damn good show, too. Again.
Mm-hmm. A Go back to it.
If you guys, we preached about it before, but if you've never watched the Channel Zero series, really good, especially Candle Cove. Amazing story. Love that one.
I didn't want to jump in and interrupt or anything, but Jesse was talking about like modern urban fantasy stuff. I feel like he probably has, but that movie Bright that was on Netflix.
Yeah.
It came a couple years ago.
It was all right. That's pretty good.
Don't get me wrong. It wasn't great, but it's okay. Very much what he was talking about.
Was that Max Landis?
Elves, orcs, magic. Yeah, it was Max Landis who wrote it. Yeah. Yeah. We don't talk about that. but it's, we leave that part out now.
I actually, like, it wasn't great, but I did enjoy that quite a bit. I've been on a big kick with it, like, and obviously starting a long time ago with Harry Potter, Jesse, being urban fantasy, and then, like, the Jim Butcher series. What's the...
I don't know what you're talking about, but I can't think of it.
Jesse, you would also really probably like Shadowrun, the Shadowrun series.
Yep.
Yeah. That's all. Shadowrun.
Fair enough.
So I just posted the cover.
The Dresden Files.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
There's a really good tabletop for that.
So I posted the cover to the original book, and then I posted the first page before it gets into the actual, like, rest of the rhyme, and that's the imagery that I kind of had nightmares of.
It reminds me, I mean, it's not the same thing, but like, the only imagery that ever scared me in a book, and I think this is the same feeling you got from this, you guys all know where I'm going with it, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, had that same, like, you're afraid to open the book because you don't want to see the pictures.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that whole book just gave me...
There you go, Dalton.
The heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, the heebie-jeebies. That's the one with the grasshopper feast. Yeah, that's fucking terrifying.
Too. Oh, yeah. No, fuck that.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, ma'am.
Why is that dog so small?
Oh.
Or maybe the bug is so big.
Oh, that's some Pokemon shit right there.
And what makes it even more disturbing is it's in this, like, really nice, like, color pencil wannabe watercolor, like, tone. Yeah.
Yikes.
Like, so it's almost like it's not supposed to be creepy. I think they had a little bit of, like, Bosch influence here.
Yeah, and it's just
colorful and bright, but creepy.
But I want to see this turned into some kind of horror series, almost like American Horror Story, like we were talking about, where it's just, like, these characters that are playing throughout, like, trying
it to... It needs to be animated.
That, or, like, if they did a live app, Freak
like
Show.
Like a Lion King.
Horror Story. Like the Freak Show season, I think would work really well with it.
All right, Dalton, last one.
I actually have one book. It's a little known book, Alexander, the Forging of a Warrior President.
Motherfucker!
Oh, fucking callback, suck it. No, actually,
We helped put that book on the map. Sales went up 100% after Hunter and it brought it to our attention on the show.
He sold
like four people bought it.
Literally dozens of copies have been sold in its lifetime. And that's our doing.
No, for real. If you were like, let's make a TV show right now, what do you want to do? I want to make a spoof of not a spoof. I want to continue the Comedy Central drunk history, but do it with only wrestling events of the past. just like the most bonkers shit, but then have just drunk ass wrestlers tell the story. Cause that's half the fun of being backstage in the locker room is hearing the goofy story.
Isn't that that's half true. The show anyway?
I would watch a show.
They do like American hits. No, I don't want like Dark Side of the Ring. I want this to actually not like make people look bad.
Right.
I want it to be fun.
Basically this would be like if you were in a car ride with Sarge on the way to WrestleMania. Or something.
And then, like, a cute retelling while it happened with
less like, racial slurs.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
And I was tiptoeing around, I think, Shannon. But, yeah, no, like, that's, if you were just like, what show would you watch all the time? I love Drunk History on Comedy Central. If you gave me that, but with goofy-ass wrestling stories, I would be in all day. But I was happy I was able to pull the horse time callback and got you.
It's a good story. It's a good story. Read it sometimes. It makes sense. All right, Hunter.
Oh, my last one is going to go back to horror stories. It's a little novel by Stephen Graham Jones called The Only Good Indians. Sarah read this first, and it was a long time before I finally got around to it, but this would be an incredible miniseries. The gist of the story is that this group of Native American guys, when they're young and living on this reservation, go out on an elk hunt. They're on land they're not supposed to be on. They're well past having permits or anything like that, and they happen to stumble across this group of elk, and they mow them down, kill way more than they need, kill them pretty gruesomely, as a matter of fact, get caught doing it, and get caught, or get forced to leave stuff behind, which means not all the pieces are used, and it's not, you know, done properly because the authorities drag them away. This comes back to bite them in a really awful Mother Nature slash supernatural kind of way. I'm going to give you a phrase, the Elkhead Woman. It's just the imagery given behind that throughout the course of the story is horrifying. I also really appreciate, because I think it's written very cinematically, that the first half of the book feels like it's a completely contained story, because it ends abruptly and goes on to show you that this is not just about this one guy who was involved in that. It's about everybody who was there, and this thing is coming for all of them. It's very vivid, very, again, sensory, but this, in this case, where the Night Circus is very, well, this is great, I want to live there, and I remember what this is like, this is very much a, please get me out of here. I don't want to be here anymore, and I don't want that thing behind me. Yeah, it's really, really good. It's if I were doing this in order, it would not necessarily be the top of that list out of the ones that I picked, but I think it's a good one to leave off on. He's written several other things, too, and I'm in the midst of one right now that I think this is, of all his books, because he's kind of blowing up as an author right now, this is the one that would work filmed. The other stuff, not so much, but The Only Good Indians would be a really... Oh, and the title is just such a good callback to what you know is going to happen based on the rest of that quote. So yeah, it's really, really well done, and I'd like to see it as a miniseries.
I had a couple thoughts for my last one. Part of me wanted to describe a story that I myself had written, or I had the idea for, of a film that I wanted to write that I think is a fantastic story about a guy that gets trapped in his own mind. But I'm so embarrassed telling my own stories that I knew I couldn't get through it without, like, you know, hunkering down and quitting. Then I was going to say, the obvious answer for me was an MCU movie based on an obscure comic called X-Men, and how they should just get around to making the goddamn X-Men movie. But instead, for my last one, I do probably the story that I want to see most on screen, and it's been made once or twice as like super duper independent films, like shoestring budget. But I want to see, or they've put this character in different movies that he doesn't belong in, or it's something that kind of looks like him. I want to see a proper, big-budget Call of Cthulhu movie. Like, give me an actual Call of Cthulhu with a competent director, actual actors, and a budget. The closest we ever got to it was Underwater, where, spoiler alert, at the end, the Cthulhu monster came out of the ocean and destroyed everything. But it's not Cthulhu. It's just something reminiscent of Cthulhu. We've never gotten a legit... In fact, we never get very many legitimate H.P. Lovecraft stories in general. Like,
I was really excited about Lovecraft Country. I was hoping that that was going to have a lot more Lovecraft,
which had next to nothing about Lovecraft in it. Very, very tricky. They've done a couple adaptations for, like, Masters of Horror on Showtime did one or two Lovecraft stories, but like, there's never been anything super big budget. Guillermo del Toro and Tom Cruise were working on an adaptation of The Mountains of Madness, and they couldn't get the funding for it. How do you not get funding for a movie directed by Guillermo del Toro and starring Tom Cruise? Baffling.
That didn't make any sense. Yeah.
So we'll probably never see a proper Call of Cthulhu film, but it's a great story with a fantastic monster at the end. So it's baffling to me. So that's my answer. The Call of Cthulhu.
Would you want Mark Wahlberg to play Cthulhu?
He would play Cthulhu and the main character in a dual role.
Hey,
and
humanity, say hello to your mother for me.
Well, no, that would be played by his brother and the rest of the people from Wahlburgers. They would be the cultists. All right, Lindsay, last pick, please. I need a drink.
Well,
My voice is gone.
I feel like this is just going to kind of piddle out, but my last one is a fairy tale that I always liked when I was little, and it just doesn't get any love at all. It's called King Thrushbeard. and it's about a stuck-up princess who literally makes fun of all of her suitors to the point that her dad's like, you know what, fuck you, the next guy that walks by, I don't care what he is, I don't care what his status is, he's yours. And it's kind of her being put in her place and learning not to judge people and being brought off her high horse. And in the end, the guy she ends up with is one of the kings that she made fun of, but he made her go through all this other stuff to quit being a little bitch.
Jeez. That does not sound like a tale of woman empowerment.
No, it's about being a good person.
So you're saying the women empowerment movement? Never mind. I'm not going to put you there. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it.
Just someone being an entitled princess bitch rather than being a decent human being.
So she's a Kardashian.
No, I gotta go give somebody the name entitled princess bitch.
You know, it has to be, who would it be? Cody?
Steven.
Steven.
Oh, he's going to take that so very personally.
Yeah, that's true.
Fine. I told him to shut the fuck up the other night, and I don't think he took that very well either.
No, but he came back and played Fallout. It's been cool for days.
Yes.
So maybe
I hope that continues.
So maybe if we just call him an entitled princess bitch, it'll work out the way we want. All right.
That'll fix it.
That's going to do it for us tonight. That's the end of the show. These shows are going way too long.
Quickly, before we end it, in total, I have one quick addition as an honorable mention. We never get the rights and never get the clearance. But the PZ85 Plays version of Dawn of Defiance would make a great movie. And it would be way too long. Yeah, it'd probably have to be a series. But
I'd tell you who I'd really like to see.
You guys just want
to
see me almost kill Tanner.
Well, no. It would be Iris almost killing Starman, whatever his name was.
Starman!
I'd tell you who I'd like to see Piney come back in this series, played by Mark Wahlberg.
Well, howdy, y'all. Say hello to your mother for me. Say howdy to your mother for me.
And Craig Halen, played by Dennis Miller, because fuck Dennis Miller. Okay, that's
God
it.
Damn,
that's all. The greatest literary creation since Jesus Christ. All right. That's going to do it. Oh, I need to go have a Pepsi. All right, that's it for us. We're out of here. We'll be back Saturday.
We will be back.
We'll be
just
back.
Leave it at that.
We'll be back with an all new episode of something. And the new episode's next week. Until then, of course, Podzilla1985.com. You can catch up on the old episodes, Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. And you can always listen to us on any of your favorite podcasting platforms. Also, make sure you check out Dalton and Ace's new podcast, The Nerdiest Side of the Ring. You can also.
Part of the Ring.
What did I say?
Side.
So you got me thinking of Dark Side of the Ring now. Nerdiest Part of the Ring.
Yeah.
And that is also on most major platforms, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can also follow us at NerdiestPart at Twitter.
You can also buy Dalton's shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com/DaltonAnthony.
See, I got you, man. I still promote you. That's what I do.
I can't smell anything, but I can still spend that cash. So buy my shit.
He can't smell food, but he can smell that money rolling in. All right, that's it. We're out of here. We'll see you guys next week. Hunter, take us out.
Hey, listeners, how you doing? Say later to your mother for me.